Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my creeper?
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Creepy Shit.
When I say that today is utterly unhinged, I am not messing with you. I first heard about today's location right around, I want to say it was right around Halloween time. At the end of 2025, and immediately I started digging into this. And the more I dug into this location, the more absolutely disturbed and unsettled I've gotten. Like, going back and reviewing like my outline and my notes for today, there were a few spots where I got goosebumps because I was like, holy shit, that's right. This is real. Like, this is happening now. And it is the scariest thing. I mean, there are a few episodes so far that really stand out to me, that have always stood out to me, that I do find utterly disturbing. And a couple of them are like the Lamb Funeral Home. That episode definitely stuck with me for a while. St. Nazian's still freaks me out. Like, I was supposed to go in fall to go explore it, and I actually wound up, I'm sorry guys, please don't hate me for this, but I chickened out on it. I'm like, you know what? I'm not ready yet. So just to give you an idea that this episode is gonna be like one of those episodes, and I almost want to take a vote online to see which one of these will stand out more to you. And I'm willing to bet it's gonna be this episode, because this is royally fucked. Like, I can't even believe it's real. And I can't even believe that it's legal. That's the other thing. So this is just going to be nuts. And if you haven't heard of this location, get ready, buckle up, because we are talking about McCamey Manor. It's McCamouse. No, just kidding. McCamey. It's McCamey. Manor. And if I remember correctly, we're going to dive into this, but I know it's, I think it's like in Tennessee, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong. Let's find out. So I'm going to be upfront with you from the start. This episode is not about ghosts. There's actually no paranormal activity here whatsoever. This doesn't involve any sort of like reincarnation. There is, you know, nothing spectral like appearing in photographs. But somehow I am telling you, it is absolutely way more disturbing than this. So now, if you've been on the internet at any point in like the last decade, you might have heard whispers about this place, and maybe you've seen clips like on TikTok or YouTube, videos of people like covered in fake blood, hyperventilating, begging for it to stop, which is just like, I just can't. Like, it's so, oh, just woof. So maybe you've also heard that there is allegedly a $20,000 prize that supposedly awaits anyone who can complete this full experience. And here's the thing, though. No one ever has. And I'm starting to think that that is very much by design. So, my fellow creepers, go grab your favorite bevy and let's dive in to McCamey Manor. Here we go. So hooray, I was right. This is tucked away in Summertown, Tennessee. And yes, before you ask, there's also supposedly a location in Huntsville, Alabama. Though that gets complicated, and I'm going to get into that because there's a property. Not an elaborate haunted house with Hollywood-grade sets and animatronics. Not some massive warehouse with a maze of rooms. This is literally just a property and a trailer, some outbuildings, a yard, and in that unremarkable space, a former Navy veteran and wedding singer named Russ McCamey has created what he calls the most extreme haunted house experience in America. And others call it a torture chamber. So you tell me at the end of this episode what you guys think. So let's start at the beginning, because McCamey Manor didn't, like, it didn't just appear overnight, you know, like, poof, here I am, ta-da, in Tennessee. This whole thing has an insane history. And honestly, that history is going to tell you a lot about how we got here today. Okay. So Russ McCamey, let's start there, started doing haunted house attractions like back in the 80s. And we're talking like, I think right around like 1989 or so in San Diego, California. Love San Diego, by the way. Love San Diego. So fun. I miss warm weather, but I digress. Initially, it was like pretty standard, normal, like haunted attraction stuff. He'd set up like elaborate Halloween displays at his house. The neighborhood kids would come through and everyone had a good time, right? Classic American suburban Halloween tradition. Okay. Now, somewhere along the lines, things started to, how would you say, evolve. And I do not mean that in a good way. McCamey became obsessed with pushing boundaries, with creating something more intense and, dare I say, more realistic, more extreme than your average haunted house. And the thing is, there are people out there that are definitely into it, and no judgment. I'm telling you right now, I'm a very judge-free zone in that department. Hey, if it trips your trigger, go have at it. There's apparently a very huge appetite for what is deemed as extreme haunts. Attractions where actors can actually touch you, where things get physical and psychological in ways that your local, like, church's haunted hayride definitely does not, okay? So by the mid-2010s, McCamey Manor in San Diego had developed quite the reputation. People were traveling from, like, all over the country. And, hell, all over the world, I shit you not, to experience this. He had a Facebook following, YouTube videos, racking up millions of views, and a mystique that was part legend and also kind of part of that nightmare fuel. But here's where it gets interesting. In 2015, the San Diego location shut down, and then McCamey started trying to relocate. He attempted to move to Illinois. The community was like, fuck that, get out of here. Then he tried Arizona, got pushed out by public backlash before he even got started. In 2017, he successfully relocated to Summertown, Tennessee, which is this tiny community in Lawrence County. It has a population of like less than 200 people. And that's where the real controversy began. Because, okay, see, when you're operating in San Diego, you're in a major city with lots of oversight, lots of neighbors, lots of eyes on what you're doing. But Summertown? Baby, that's rural, okay? That is rural. And that is private property in a place where people genuinely believe in the principle of what you do on your own land is your business. Well, dare I say it, that is exactly what Russ McCamey was counting on. Okay, so let's talk about what McCamey Manor actually is. And I'm gonna warn you, if this is a trigger alert, whatever the case may be, some of this is definitely graphic. Some of it is going to be really disturbing. Like I said, even for me, this is just a lot. And some of it might make you legitimately angry, because I definitely encountered that a little bit too, just like I did with the Lamb Funeral Home episode. And I'm just here to tell you that's normal. You're in a safe place with me. Trust your gut on this one. I am here for you. We will hold hands and we will get through it together. So first, let's talk about getting in to this place, okay? Because it's not as simple as just like buying a ticket. Oh, no. There's this whole process, and it's clearly designed to do two things: legally protect McCammy's ass and create a sense of exclusivity that makes people even more determined to do it. So there's your first mind fuck in the whole thing, right? And here's what you need to qualify for McCammy Manor, okay? Because there is literally qualifications that you need to meet for this. You have to be at least 21 years old. If you are 18 to 20, you can do it, but you need parental approval, which, yeah, okay. But and seriously, if my kid came to me and said, "Mom, I want to go to this haunted attraction, and here's this like 157-page document that you have to sign to allow me to do it," I'd be like, fuck no. Like, what parent is signing off on this is what I want to know, because You need to complete, and I shit you not on this, you need to complete a sports physical, get a doctor's note saying that you are physically and mentally sound to participate in this. Oh my gosh, my fellow creepers and weirdos, we are just getting into this. I'm serious, the rabbit hole is going to get dark. You have to pass a background check. You need proof of medical insurance. And right there, that should tell you something, right? Like, why would a haunted house need to verify that you have medical insurance? Like, no. You have to pass a drug test the day before your tour. And you know how I was exaggerating on like 157 page waiver? Well, here's the thing. And this is the kicker. You do have to sign a waiver, and it's actually 40 pages. 40 pages. I'm telling you right now, if you do this, if you feel like, oh shit, this is my jam, like I'm into extreme haunts, all that kind of stuff. Okay, cool. Like, good for you. And wow, I commend you on your bravery. But I would be having a lawyer with me when I am signing this document. I'm just saying. Now, this waiver is apparently the stuff of nightmares, like all on its own. Participants have to read it out loud on camera, and in it, you're acknowledging that you might experience, oh, this is so fucked. Okay. You might experience waterboarding, physical assault, being bound and gagged, consumption of unknown substances, exposure to extreme temperatures, having your head shaved, having a tooth pulled. Yes, dental work is on the table, apparently. Being buried alive, electrical shocks. And I am not kidding you, you guys. Like, the list goes on. Out of more than 100 possible scenarios, you can veto two. Just two. Everything else is fair game. Like, oh my God, what would you pick? First of all, I would definitely say you're not touching my mouth. Absolutely not. Do you know how hard I worked for this? Do you know how much money my parents invested into my mouth? Absolutely not. I'm not going to disrespect them that way. I'm just saying. What the other one would be? Well, I've already shaved my head, so like, I don't give a shit about that, but gosh, I don't know. Like, it's just, it would depend on what else is in there. Like, I'm not okay with it. Okay, so then the entry fee, right? Originally, It was, and this part I think is kind of sweet. It was a 50-pound bag of dog food, which I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. You're probably donating it to shelters and like, okay, I can get behind that. Like you're like, there is a good intention behind all the fuckery. Like, you know what I'm saying? Now, McKemmy has 5 dogs. He absolutely loves animals. And that was his price, which I think is actually, like I said, I think that's actually kind of cool. But more recently, it's been changed to a monetary donation that's recommended, but not mandatory. And then there's the prize, right? Like, remember how I was talking about the $20,000 prize? For anyone who completes a full 8 to 10 hour experience. Except here's the thing. McKemmy deducts $500 from that prize for every failed challenge or use of profanity during your tour, which how the hell are you not going to cuss? Like, you expect to go through all of this, like, psychological bullshit and everything else just to, like, be told you can't swear? Oh, right there, like, even if I was into extreme haunts like this, that would be my out. Because no, like, if I can't swear, forget it. Like, seriously, my favorite word is fuck. I mean, come on. And given that McKemmy has openly stated that cursing is not allowed and profanity will cost you, yeah, you can totally see where this is going, right? According to Russ himself, no one has ever completed the experience. In fact, in interviews, he said the average time spent in McKemmy Manor is approximately 8, get ready, minutes. 8 minutes. Some people tap out in 2. But get this, there's supposedly a wait list of approximately 27,000 people, 27,000 people allegedly waiting to be tortured in a Tennessee trailer park. Dude, like, I'm so baffled by that. Okay, so although some YouTubers and journalists who've inquired have reported being contacted almost immediately with dates available. So, with that in mind, the wait list might be as real as our $20,000 prize. I'm just saying. So, now, let's talk about what happens once you're there, okay? Okay, so this is where things are going to get really dark. So I'm going to tell you the documented stories, the ones that people have gone public with, and you can decide for yourself what you think is happening here. Now, before you even get to the main event, there's what McKemmy calls the pre-tour challenges. And these aren't... They are definitely not haunted house scares. They're actually endurance tests. Wall sits for extended periods. Being doused in fake blood. Eating mystery canned foods. Ew. Ew. Having your face covered while people pour things on you. Yeah, no. No. This goes on for hours. Sometimes it is streamed live on Facebook so McKemmy's followers can watch. And this is all before the actual tour begins. One of the most public cases comes from a woman named Laura Hertz Brotherton. In 2016, she traveled from Colorado to the San Diego location. She was looking for like that extreme experience, something beyond like normal haunted houses. What she got actually sent her to the hospital. Yeah. In interviews afterwards, Laura described being waterboarded, tased, whipped across the body and face, repeatedly hit in the face with open hands as hard as a man could hit a woman, having dirt shoved in her mouth until she was choking and gasping for water, which they'd just splash in her face rather than giving her like an actual drink of water. She said this went on for like 20, 30 minutes at one point. Hell the fuck no. Ew. She says she used her safe word repeatedly for several minutes, and they did not stop. That is not okay with me, because in that 40-page document, how carefully did you read it? Because one, I would love to actually see it, but I highly doubt you can even get your hands on it unless you are actually going. But eventually, thankfully, they did stop. And when the adrenaline wore off, she got back to her hotel. She realized like how much pain she was actually in. So she drove herself to the emergency room. The documentation from that visit shows extensive injuries, bruises covering her body, scratches inside her mouth from actors. Oh, and I'm so sorry. This is so nasty. Fish hooking her cheeks, pulling them open from the inside. That is alarming. That is alarming. But here's where, like, honestly, like, if you didn't think that was dark enough, I am so sorry, you guys. This is so disturbing today. It is so fucked up, but I feel it's so important that we talk about this place because, oh my gosh. Okay. Laura says that before she left the manor, Russ pointed a camera at her and told her that if she didn't say positive things about her experience, if she told people what actually happened, he would sue her for $50,000 based on the waiver that she signed. So there's a footage of Laura that is exhausted, traumatized, injured, and she says on camera how amazing and exhilarating her experience was because she was terrified of being sued because she just wanted to get out of there, which at that point, girl, I don't blame you. Run for the freaking hills, like honestly. She spoke out eventually anyway, which bravo, bravo. But that video of her praising the experience, that's on McCammy's YouTube channel. And you can absolutely go check it out. That's part of the marketing. Proof that people love it, right? Well, there are other stories. A man who passed out multiple times and the workers only stopped because they genuinely thought they might have killed him. People who have sought psychiatric help afterwards, there are people who have said they repeatedly screamed the safe word only to be met with laughter. Now, here's where I have to be fair and present the other side, because there is another side. Even if I, well, we'll get to that, okay? But McCammy insists that what happens at his manor is mostly psychological and not physical. He claims to use hypnosis and mind control techniques extensively. In one interview, he said, and I quote, "I can put somebody in a kiddie pool filled with water and tell you there's a great white shark in there with you, and you're going to believe there's a great white shark in there. I have that kind of control over somebody's mind during this tour." I'm sorry. What? And no, I just, that's all I've got for this. This episode should be called McCammy Manor. No, like, I'm serious. He says that participants believe they're in dangerous situations, but they're actually just being manipulated psychologically. The physical stuff, he claims, looks worse than it is because people are in a heightened state of fear. I don't know about that, Russ. I don't know. He also says that if real torture were happening, if people were really being hospitalized left and right, he'd be in jail. It wouldn't be legal. People wouldn't be allowed to sign away their right to not be tortured. And I mean, okay, he's got a point there, like legally speaking, and this is a very thin line margin for me, which is why we need to talk about the legal situation on this. So here's the thing that makes McCamey Manor possible is the consent. It's the consent. In the United States, adults are allowed to consent to a lot of things that might otherwise be illegal. Consent is the foundation of everything from like BDSM to extreme sports to medical procedures. If you're an adult of sound mind and you agree to something, generally speaking, the law says that's your right. And that's kind of where our freedom comes into to the realm, because I get that. Now, Russ McCamey has built his entire operation on that principle, reinforced by that 40-page waiver. If that is not crazy legalized manipulation, I don't know what is, because holy cow, that is just twisted to me. Now, the Lawrence County District Attorney, Brent Cooper, said in 2018 that this is a direct, and P.S., this is a direct quote, it's legal because basically the people that are subjecting themselves to the McCamey program, or whatever you want to call it, they're doing so voluntarily. But Cooper also noted something really important to this. He said that if someone rescinds their consent at any point, like say by using the safe word repeatedly, and McCamey doesn't honor that, then he could be in very big trouble. So, which is exactly what multiple participants have claimed has happened to them. So this is really interesting, because it's like, okay, now are we going into a matter of like, he said, she said shit, and because there's a waiver, they can't do anything, right? So let's find out. The community of Summertown has not been thrilled about their new neighbor, and I can't say I blame them. Just a few weeks after McCamey started operating there in 2017, police got called to the property. A neighbor saw a woman being dragged from a van screaming. Turned out she was there voluntarily, part of, you know, that whole experience, but it freaked people out enough that McCamey now has an agreement with local law enforcement. He calls them before each tour to give them a heads up. You know, so they don't respond, thinking that there's like an actual crime in progress, which like, isn't there? Like, I don't know. This is just so Lawrence County Commissioner Scott Franks put out a community alert on Facebook in opposition to McCamey Manor. It got almost 600 comments, most of them opposed to having this operation in their community. Franks described it as simply something that none of us want anywhere near us. But without criminal charges and without evidence of a crime actually being committed against someone who didn't consent, their hands are kind of tied and there's not much that they can do. Well, insert some good news here. That kind of changed, well, at least sort of, in 2023. Tennessee Attorney General Jonathan Skirmetti. That's just really fun to say. Skirmetti. Skirmetti. Okay, the coffee's kicking in. Okay, he opened an investigation into McCamey Manor. Ironically enough, on October 31st, 2023, like Halloween. So the investigation was looking into whether the operation actually violated any sort of consumer protection laws. Specific concerns included like allegations that withdrawn consent wasn't being honored, lack of access to the waiver beforehand, and the inability for contestants to actually win the prize money. When the Attorney General's office announced this investigation on Twitter, McCamey Manor's official account responded with, "Haters gonna hate." Yeah, real professional there, Russ. Real professional. So McCamey then filed a 32-page lawsuit against the Tennessee Attorney General. God, what a little bitch. Seriously, I'm sorry. I'm getting all heated up on this one. Like, oh, what a little fucking crybaby. After all the things that he's already doing, and now he's going to have to fall in line and like stand by some standards and he can't take it. What a bitch. Like, honestly. Okay, sorry. I'm getting all hot and bothered under this one. I'm so like disturbed by it and I think it's nuts. Okay. Falling back in line here. Claiming the investigation violated his First, Fourth, Fifth, and 14th Amendment rights. The lawsuit was dropped in August 2024, but his attorneys have asked the court to reconsider. He's also sued Hulu over their documentary, Monster Inside, America's Most Extreme Haunted House, and sued one of the participants who appeared in that documentary. I think, honestly, at this juncture, like, this has got to be the biggest con ever. He, like, in my opinion, I feel, and if you disagree with me, that's totally fine. I don't hate. It's all good. This is why we talk about it. But in my opinion, I feel like this guy has literally manipulated the monetary way of getting money, because that is how he's getting his money. So the twists and the turns are just so unbelievable to me. And we need to talk about Russ himself, because understanding the man behind the manor is crucial to understand what's really going on here. Now, Russ is a Navy veteran and a former wedding singer. In interviews and documentaries, he comes across as, I'm trying to find the right word here, okay? Like, folksy, I guess? He's got this, like, aw, shucks, I'm just a simple guy who loves horror kind of vibe. And I'm not sure that he really talks like that. He probably doesn't. But he talks about growing up loving Halloween and loving to jump scare people. Okay, now that's innocent enough. You know, like, bless my fellow coworker's heart. She loves to jump scare us too. And if you've seen any of the videos that I've posted of it, they are good and they're funny and they're sweet and endearing. And I'm okay with that. Now, in one documentary that I caught, he mentions that as a kid, he'd climb onto the roof of his house and throw human mannequins onto roads to scare drivers. So yeah, that's a thing. And please don't ever do that. If there's anyone like in their teenage years who listens to this show, like, don't be a dick, okay? Now, McCamey is obsessed with documentation. Everything that happens at his manor is filmed, which honestly is probably just to cover his own ass. He live streams pre-tour activities on Facebook. He uploads edited videos to YouTube. He has thousands of followers across social media platforms who watch this content religiously, which to me, that's alarming. That is seriously alarming to me. And he has said explicitly, if I couldn't film it, I wouldn't do it. He's willing to do anything to get that special footage. And this is where things get really also complicated, because there's clearly an element of performance here. McCamey has developed a persona, a brand, right? He's got fans, defenders of who will argue vehemently that everyone who goes through McCamey Manor knows what they're signing up for, that it's all psychological tricks and movie magic, that the people complaining are just weak and looking for attention. I don't think so, Russ. Some participants have even gone back for multiple experiences. Okay, now that to me, that's an interesting little tidbit to that. But then there are people like Laura and others who have spoken out saying it was genuinely traumatic, that safe words were ignored, that the physical harm was very, very real. In July 2024, Russ McCamey was arrested at his Summertown home and charged with attempted second-degree murder, trigger alert, because it's going to continue, rape, and domestic assault. The charges stemmed from allegations made by his girlfriend about incidents that had occurred on his property. Now, the charges were dropped in September of 2024. And I'm going to let you sit with that information and draw your own conclusions there. Because let's talk about why. Why would anyone sign up for this? Like, I was really, really just baffled, and I really wanted to know what the actual appeal is here, because here's the thing. Even if we, oops, sorry if you caught that, I just hit my mic with my coffee. But even if we accept that McCamey Manor is legally operating, and even if we believe that everything is technically consensual, we still have to grapple with this question. What drives someone to seek out this experience? Now, there was one YouTuber who went through it, and his name is Ben Schneider. He's also known as Reckless Ben. And he said afterward that it wasn't even really a haunted house anymore. It was more like a boot camp designed to exhaust and humiliate you. Just hours of wall sits and weird challenges, mind games until you break. But people keep signing up. Some are clearly chasing like internet fame. And McCamey records everything, puts it on YouTube. If you go through McCamey Manor, you become part of the legend, part of the story. Your face is on the internet forever as someone who either conquered the manor or got conquered by it. Which, if you really want to get like your 15 minutes of fame, like create your own like account on whatever social media platform you want and just make an ass out of yourself. Problem solved. I mean, so there's also this like competitive aspect, like the whole challenge of it, which from a psychological standpoint, I can get that. Like, we as humans, I do feel we are kind of weird about challenges. Like, if you tell someone no one has ever done this, There is definitely a certain type of person out there who will immediately think, well, maybe I'll be the first. I'm the exception to the rule, right? Especially when there's money involved. Even if that money is probably total bullshit. And then there's what some psychologists call ordeal experiences throughout human history. Cultures have had rituals that involve physical or psychological ordeals, like vision quests, endurance ceremonies, initiations, if you will. There's something deep in the human psyche that connects suffering with meaning and with, like, transformation. McCamey Manor markets itself as transformative. On their website and in interviews, McCamey talks about it like it's this profound experience that will change you, that will show you what you're really made of. And to some extent, I'm like, okay, I can kind of see that. I feel like it's a little bit of a reach, but okay. But there's a difference between a controlled ordeal with a spiritual or community purpose and whatever this is, okay? McCamey Manor exists in the broader context of extreme haunted houses. And I think that's important to understand because Russ didn't invent this concept out of nowhere. There's been a growing trend in the haunted attraction industry toward more intense, more immersive, more physically interactive experiences. And frankly, I think it's because as we go through those experiences, there's a formula to them, right? Like there's a formula to a haunted attraction. And eventually, whether we consciously or unconsciously know it, we have solved that. And now we're bored by that. And we need the next level of scare, fear, whatever you want to call it. So places like Blackout, 1031 Productions, and others have pushed these boundaries in ways that blur the line between haunted house and theatrical performance art. Most of these places have really strict rules. Actors can touch you, but they can't actually hurt you. Safe words are honored immediately. There are trained safety personnel, medical professionals on standby, and the goal is to create the feeling of danger and not actual danger, okay? McCamey Manor, by multiple accounts, doesn't follow these same guidelines, okay? And that's created a real problem for the rest of the extreme haunt industry. So he's kind of like fucking it up for the ones that are doing it right, which I think is really shitty. Because when people talk about extreme haunted houses, McCamey Manor is inevitably the example that comes up. And the controversy around it has led to calls for greater regulation, more oversight, crackdowns on all extreme attractions. Legitimate operators in the space have largely distanced themselves from McCamey, but the damage to the industry's reputation is really becoming more and more real. And to that, for those who love that, like, that is a bummer. And, you know, like, I don't know, that it sucks. So there's also been significant backlash. Charge.org petition was calling for McCamey Manor to be shut down and has gathered over 170,000 signatures. The petition describes it as a torture chamber under disguise and claims McCamey uses loopholes to get out of being arrested. Not saying they're right. Definitely not saying they're wrong. Multiple documentaries have covered it. Haunters, The Art of the Scare, that was done back in 2017. you can check out Netflix's Dark Tourist and most recently Hulu's Monster Inside in 2023. Each one has added to the public awareness and the debate, and that's where I am at today as well. I am here to bring about the awareness on this, and let's really talk about it. So let's get into the philosophical for a minute, okay? Because I think this whole situation raises some really important questions that don't have any sort of easy answers. Here's the first question. Where's the line between consensual extreme experience and abuse? If someone signs a waiver saying you can hurt them, does that really make it okay? Does a legal document override the ethical obligation not to harm people? Question two. What happens when the safe words are ignored? If the entire premise is consent, and consent can be written at any time, but that withdrawal is not honored, haven't we just crossed from consensual experience into assault? I'm just saying. Okay, question three. What responsibility do we have for someone's consent if they don't fully understand what they're consenting to? That 40-page waiver is read out loud on camera, sure, okay? Right, absolutely. But can anyone really imagine what it's going to feel like to be waterboarded? To have their face repeatedly hit? And to be terrified for hours on end? There's a concept in medical ethics, and I love medical stuff. I really do. Like, fun facts, fun side little segue here. I actually wanted to be a cardiologist surgeon as a kid. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to actually transplant hearts for people. But anyway, I digress. So I love medical stuff, and I love diving into it. And they called what medical ethics called informed consent. That requires not just that someone agrees to something, but that they truly understand the risks and the consequences. And I really wonder if that actually applies here. Like, I don't know. That's a very blurred line to me. Question four. Why is this consent allowed on social media platforms? As if we don't have enough, like, ugliness and tragedy already being shoved into our faces. YouTube and Facebook have strict policies against violence and harmful content. But McCammy Manor has been uploading videos of people being tortured. And let's call it what it looks like, okay? Because this has been going on for years. The argument is that it's consensual. It's entertainment. It's like watching an action movie or an extreme sport. Okay, but is it? Because I don't think it is. I don't. And then question five. This is the one that seriously just haunts me and disturbs me the most out of all of this. What does it say about us as a society that this exists and thrives? Because that is the creepy shit factor that I am dealing with here. Because to me, that is the most alarming, most disturbing aspect. And I just, like, I mean, all of it is. I mean, honestly, I mean, is there one that's greater than another? Honestly, no, probably not. It all is just not okay, in my opinion. That tens of thousands of people want to experience this, that millions more watch the videos, that were simultaneously horrified and fascinated. As of right now, okay, so like in December of like where it all stands right now. Okay. So December 2024. As of that date, McCamey Manor is apparently still operating. All charges against Russ have been dropped. The Attorney General's investigation seems to have stalled. The lawsuits are continuing. The videos are still being uploaded. And according to McCamey himself, in October of 2024 interview, the manor is continuing despite what he calls legal woes and thousands of demands for its shutdown. Now, the second location in Huntsville, Alabama, remember how I mentioned that, that McCamey often mentions, according to some investigative journalists, no one has actually ever made it there. McCamey says people break at the Tennessee location before they can get to Alabama. The average experience lasts 8 minutes, remember? So the Alabama location might not really exist in any sort of functional sense. It might just be part of the mythology or part of like the psychological like mind fuck or marketing. Another impossible goal to chase. Lawrence County officials told reporters in 22 that McCamey has been quiet for the last 2 to 3 years, that they hadn't had evidence or reason to prosecute. Now, whether that means the operation has genuinely toned it down or just gotten better at avoiding complaints, I don't know. So look, I'm going to level with you. This is one of those topics where I'm not going to pretend that I've got all the answers on this one. I am definitely baffled. I don't really know what to think, but based upon what I have gathered, I'm not loving it for this location or for what's happening. But part of me thinks, like, there's a part of me that does think, okay, you are consenting to whatever they want. If someone wants to pay to be scared, to be pushed by their physical and psychological limits, I mean, honestly, who am I to judge? People do all kinds of dangerous shit, you know, between base jumping and free climbing and extreme sports, right? People get body modifications that are way more extreme than anything McCamey Manor does. And there's even a whole like BDSM community based around consensual power exchange and intense physical experiences. And that's valid and that's protected. So like I say, like I get that aspect of it. I really do. But another part of me can't get past the stories of people screaming their safe words and being ignored. I cannot stop thinking about Laura being threatened into making a video praising her experience while she had injuries that were severe enough to require hospital treatment. I can't shake the feeling that something is very, very wrong here. So I think maybe the problem is that McCamey Manor exists in this like gray zone where consent is technically present, but the power dynamic is so skewed that it becomes meaningless. When you've been sleep deprived and physically exhausted and psychologically manipulated for hours, when you're terrified and in pain, when you've been told you'll be sued if you say anything negative, are you really in a position to advocate for yourself? To insist that your boundaries be respected? Like, And I also can't help but notice that Russ McCamey, the man who claims that this is all just psychological tricks and harmless fun, was arrested on charges of attempted murder and domestic assault. Now, these charges were dropped And legally speaking, being charged with something doesn't mean that you did it. But let's be honest, that definitely makes you wonder and question. And here's what I keep coming back to. Intent matters. Traditional haunted houses, like even extreme ones, have the intent to scare you in a controlled environment and then let you walk away with a story and this adrenaline rush, right? But what's the intent at Mikami Manor? Is it really about people, like giving people a thrilling, boundary-pushing experience? Or is it about something else? Is it about power, control, getting footage for YouTube, breaking people? I don't know. But I know which way my gut leans. So, yeah, my fellow creepers, that's Mikami Manor. Not a ghost story, but maybe something way scarier. A real place operating right now, where people voluntarily subject themselves to experiences that would be illegal in pretty much any other context. So there's no ghost hunting here, no spirits to communicate, no paranormal activity to investigate. Just humans doing things to other humans, all technically legal, all technically consensual. And out of all of it, making my skin crawl. Do I think people should be able to attend Mikami Manor if they want to? I mean, legally? I don't think, you know, I mean, I certainly don't have a right to stop them. And by all means, if that's really, truly what you desire, I mean, okay. Adults get to make their own choices. I mean, even stupid ones. So do I think Mikami Manor should exist? Well, that's a different question. And one that honestly, I'm just going to let you answer for yourself. And if you want to look into this more, by all means, like, please do. There are plenty of documentaries out there that I have mentioned. Honestly, I think the Hulu documentary, Monster Inside, is probably the best one and the most comprehensive. Though I will definitely say, please be warned, it's genuinely disturbing. I definitely had to walk away on some of the episodes. It's an 8-part series. That's not the 8-part series. Sorry, the documentary is one full swoop. But there is an 8-part podcast series called Inside Mikami Manor that goes deep into the investigation. The change.org petition to shut down Mikami Manor is still active. If you would like to add your name to that, I'm just giving you all the deets. I'm just giving you the facts on this. And if you're one of those people who's thinking challenge accepted, I could totally complete the Mikami Manor. Please, please, because I mean, I know I don't know you directly, but I do care about people a lot. And I just really encourage you to think long and hard about that. Talk to someone, consider why it is that you're actually drawn to that. And I mean, a little tough love here. I mean, maybe call a therapist instead. Okay. So as always, I'm not here to tell you what to believe. I'm just here to present the facts, let you draw your own conclusions. But I will say this, just because something is legal doesn't mean it's right. And just because someone consents doesn't mean we're off the hook for questioning whether we should be doing that in the first place. All right. Whew. Wow. Okay. I hope this digests for you. I have a feeling it's going to be stuck with you. Please reach out if you want to discuss it. Let me know your thoughts. I always love like having conversations with you guys because you guys are freaking awesome. If you are new to the show and this was your first episode, holy shit, did you really get thrown into the deep end of the pool on this one? So feel free to follow along for more. You can check me out over on Instagram at creepy_shit creepyshit_podcast. If you have any episodes or that you would like me to cover, if you have locations or stories that you want to share, I'm always accepting listener tales. I'm always open to any sort of fan requests that you have. And you can email those to creepyshitpodcastofficial@gmail.com. All right, guys, until next week, remember, sometimes the creepiest shit is also the truest. Okay, bye.